Please open your Bibles this morning with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. Greetings to all of our visitors here this morning. Welcome to East River Baptist Church. Our goal is to honor the Lord, preach His Word, pray the Holy Spirit might speak to all of our hearts today. Matthew chapter number 27. Been preaching on conversations around the cross. And around chapter number 27, you'll find that we have come to the conclusion of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as He has died upon the cross. Last week we looked at the comment that and the conclusion that the centurion came to when he saw all the things that happened around the cross of our blessed Lord. He came to the conclusion and said, "This, truly, this was the Son of God." And you'll see here with me and pick up with me in Matthew 27. We want to read on here a few more verses. And I want you to... You actually will see some active conversations, some actual conversations, and then we'll see some that reveal to us the content of the conversation without actually the words. So I want to look at those today, and I pray that God will speak to your heart. I am sure. I am amazed at how the Bible is so up to date and so, can I say, it is just so... true about what is going on in the environment in America can be revealed even in these passages here today. I mean, if you listen carefully, you'll see the parallel of truth. Because truth is something that passes through all ages. And so we're going to look at some things here today. And I want you to look with me in Matthew 27. Let's pick up here, please, in verse number 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb where he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now, the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, 'While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Let's study this together today. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you'll bless thy servant. I have really enjoyed our time together studying this, Lord, and my time of meditation and prayer. But Lord, I need now to be able to articulate the things that you have spoken to me about. So I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would enable me to do that. Help me, Lord, to remember each thing that is important. And Lord, not just what I think is important. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless the preaching of your word to our hearts. I love you and I thank you for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to be aware here in this passage that I guess if I had to title the message today, it would be three assurances that are revealed in this passage. And the first one that I want to deal with this morning, I want you to rest assured of the wickedness of man and the wiles of the devil. Now, the reason I say that is because, as you've just read here with me, the powers came together. A mixture of Pharisees and Sadducees. If you look in chapter 27, it says in verse 62, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate." I want you to try to look at this as parallel as you can, as what you see going on today in the climate of the United States of America. This was both political and religious. Today we have more of the political realm than the religious realm. But you'll see some parallels. Now, I by in no means, and using this as a parallel, am comparing President Trump to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see, though, in these passages, I want you to see the wickedness of man's heart and the wiles of the devil have not changed. When it comes to their thirst for power and what they are willing to do to maintain that power. And I want you to look with me, and I think you'll see these very things. And I'm going to, I think, help you with this, especially our young people. You know, many of us in here have gray hair. Who still have hair? And we have seen many changes in America over the past 30, 40 years. I remember President Nixon. I remember especially the Clintons and Obama. And now here we are with Biden. And there are some things that you need to understand that about America is that the politics are always changing, but the nature of man has never changed. And the wickedness of man will only change by the power of God. That's why Jesus said, or should I say the Bible says in the New Testament, the judgment of God will not begin at the White House. And the judgment of God will not begin at the schoolhouse or the courthouse, but rather at the house of God. Because it is our responsibility to really raise up a standard against the flood of the wickedness of man and present the truth. So please read here with me now. Look at this. I want you to notice, first of all, how the powers that be came together. You'll notice in verse number 62, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate." And so what you have here is a group of people who do not always agree on things, but yet they have a common goal. And that common goal is their hatred for one man. And that man is Jesus Christ, because he is a threat to their power and their system. And their goal is to be sure that they get rid of him, that they might continue to maintain their control over the Jewish people and not lose their power of position or their wealth. So they come together. They lay aside their differences, as some of the Democrats and some of the RINOs have done. Now, some of you young people don't know what a RINO is. That's a Republican in name only. And some of these folks have come together in their hatred for President Trump to destroy him, lest they lose their position of power and prestige. They care not for you nor America, but for themselves. And these men are the same here. This is the nature of the wickedness of man. This is the nature and the wiles of the devil. And the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. But I want you to be able to see this. All right? And then you'll notice in verse number 64, that they accuse Jesus and his followers of what they themselves are guilty of. Can you not see that today? The Bible says it command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. Let me back up to verse number 63. That's the verse I wanted. Saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver, they are accusing the Lord Jesus of being a deceiver while they themselves are the deceivers. Do you see the parallel today of what is going on? They accuse Jesus and his disciples of what they themselves are guilty of being deceitful and divisive. And then the third thing I want you to see in verse 63 is that they can remember what Jesus says better than his followers. Do you realize that when people hate you, they will use your words and your words will be used against you? They can remember some of the things you say better than the people who like you and follow you and love you. Because people usually are looking for something that you say that they can catch you in and then bring it up later, because their goal is to bring you down. And so here they say, hey, we remember. But if you'll read in the Gospel of John, the scripture said that the disciples had failed to remember that Jesus promised to them that he would get up the third day. And here these guys who do not believe in him are telling Pilate, hey, this guy, we remember what he said. He said that he would get up the third day. Now I'm thinking, Brother John, they might be a little nervous, because all the other things that he did, like for example, the chief priest had witnessed when a leper came to them who had been cleansed. And he sent that leper back to the temple to be a witness of the power of the Son of God. And there he came. And then there was a blind man that showed up, and they questioned him. And then Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they wanted to get rid of him. And so now that he said that he might get up the third day, well, we're not sure about this guy. And so let's see what we can do. Then you'll notice something else. I'll tell you something about this group. They fear the Lord Jesus Christ. And they fear his movement. You see, because when you had mentioned Jesus, it was not only him as a man, but it was his preaching. It was his belief. It was his proclamations. And it was his movement that they were afraid of. That's why the other disciples were hiding out, because they knew that it wasn't just Jesus they were after, but his followers and his disciples. May I say to you, the powers that be in America, that they hate President Trump. And one of the reasons why they hate him is because of the threat that he is to them. But not only that, but they also liken you and I as being part of his cult. But in reality, it's just simply that he happens to believe what we believe. More than we believe what he does, he believes what we do about America and about things that ought to be done in this area. Now, you'll notice here it says in verse 64, it says, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. All right, now again, there's nothing new under the sun. Time progresses here. Third day, Jesus gets up out of the grave. Okay, and then chapter 28, look with me in verse number 10. The Bible says, telling Mary to go and tell the men. Verse number 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now this is after the resurrection. But I want to speak to you about the same group here now who had talked to Pilate. Because what they did was, then they hired some soldiers to seal the tomb and secure the tomb, so that the disciples were not interested in going to get Jesus out of that tomb. They were somewhere hiding. All right, and when you talk about sealing this tomb, we're talking about now the authority of the Roman government. We're talking about now you sealing that and putting a seal on it, and if it is broken, then you have broken the law, and you will be arrested by the Roman government for doing so. So this thing is pretty tight. Verse 11, it says, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, and he's talking about the soldiers that were placed there in front of the tomb. So you've got a politician, Pilate, you've got the religious crowd, that is both political and religious, and you have the military here. All right, it says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And what they're telling the chief priests is, hey, listen, man, these two guys showed up, and man, we were scared to death, and two guys were angels, and they rolled the stone away, and he's gone. And so they're bearing witness to what actually happened and knowing that it could be their life. They're telling the truth. This is what happened. And they know that they could die for this. And so the Bible says here in verse number 12, why am I telling you this about this morning? Is because the wickedness of man has never changed. The wiles of the devil have not changed. They fear the Lord Jesus Christ. They fear his movement. And so they're going to get ahead of this thing, and they're going to pay large sums of money to pay for a false narrative of what happened at the tomb. Jim Morrison said, whoever controls the media controls the mind of America. He who controls information controls the world. Tom Clancy said, information and knowledge is power. If you can control information, you can control people. So, look what happens. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Now, these are Jewish men that love their money. But they want power, and they do not want this. They are willing to do whatever it takes to be sure that whatever the news is that gets broadcasted, it's going to be under their control. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Is that when the powers that be feel threatened, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they will get ahead of things, and they will pay for the narrative. The Bible says in verse 13, it said, listen, we're going to give you some money. You're going to be the guys that are carrying the news. You're going to be the guys that are carrying the information. It says, saying, say ye. Do you understand? They are being told what to say. It's amazing to me that how can five or six different news companies come up with the same narrative at the same time in America? How can they almost say the very same words and sound bites? It is because someone is telling them what to say and paying them large amounts of money of what to say, because the average American does not think for himself. The average American does not research or overlook. They are like lambs being led to the slaughter. All of this stuff about COVID-19, one of the things in the vaccination situation is to see where are the groups of resistance. That is the groups that think for themselves, and they are the ones who are a danger to the one world system that is coming. All right, now look in verse 13, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, is that the truth, my friend? No. And would these soldiers lie? And would these leaders lie to us? Verse 14 says, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now that's a powerful narrative, isn't it? That is powerful. That even maybe a Jew today would still believe what these men have propagated. Wow. So I want you to see here that they see that Jesus is still a danger to them, but not only them, but also his disciples. And I need you to understand the danger even that these disciples are in, because, let me give you a couple of quotes here, because we're going to move on to the next group here, but I need you to kind of understand the atmosphere in which they are in and the danger that they were truly in. Some of you know who Katie Couric is. She's a news lady that's been around for a number of, probably decades, I suppose. She told Bill Maher, she said, the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump? Washington Post editor says, Eugene Robinson said, he considers this cult to be in the millions. We, according to them, need to be deprogrammed. Maxine Waters, Democrat, representative from California, said, why must Trump be impeached and convicted? Why are they still going after him as a private citizen? Why is it they want to destroy him? She said, Trump will take our legislature, little towns and cities, if he is not convicted for insurrection. We must convict him and we must take away his power. This was the same mentality of these Pharisees and Sadducees and chief priests, because they felt that they had to take away his influence in order to deprogram these disciples who were following him. And it's the same thing today. Do you understand? This is where we are. It is a battle for the mind. It is a battle for your mind and for the heart of America, of what is true and what is not true. Now, I want you to go with me back to the Gospel of John. Okay, go over to the Gospel of John. Look in chapter number 19. First of all, I want you to rest assured that the wickedness of man and the wiles of the devil have not changed. You say, Brother Roger, we are far more educated today. We are not like that anymore. Obviously, you've been indoctrinated instead of educated. Amen. Look with me, please, here at John 19. Rest assured that the wickedness of man and the wiles of the devil are still the same. Now, what I want you to see next here is to rest assured that God has his people everywhere. John chapter 19, I want you to notice with me in verse number 57. Or should I say 37. I can't read my own writing sometimes. Are you like that? John 19 and verse number 37. It says, again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Now, based on what I just preached to you just a moment ago, do you understand the danger of the atmosphere, the courage it took for these men to come up and identify themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? This was not an easy task. They were putting everything at risk. Everything at risk by identifying themselves with the Lord Jesus here. Can I say to you that that is happening today in America? Not talking about with the Lord Jesus. That happens in other countries where the gospel is being suppressed, like in China. But here in America, if you identify yourself as a conservative, and you oppose what has gone on in America the past few weeks, something may happen to you like what happened to Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is the guy, if you've ever heard of him, you probably have. He puts out commercials. It's called the MyPillow guy, who claims to be a Christian and a conservative and has been supporting the idea that the election was a fraud and that it was illegal. And I'm one of those. I agree with that. I mean, I believe that with all my heart. But he's been banned from major social media because of identifying with Trump. His products have been dropped by major companies. Did you know that Bed Bath & Beyond refused to sell his pillows because of his political position and conservative views concerning the election? Simply for believing. So you understand that it is sometimes very dangerous to identify. Now, we have been taking our liberties and our freedom for granted for so long, we don't understand the pressure sometimes it goes with confessing Jesus Christ is Lord. And here are these two men that are coming up here now in John 19. And I want to say it, I want you to rest assured that God has his people everywhere. The atmosphere must be appreciated here. It says even down here that Nicodemus helped him out. And they took the body of Jesus and they laid it in Joseph's tomb. Great risk here for these men. The hostility here is real and dangerous. And some of these disciples that God has are in various places. And it is important that you understand. I think there's a very important principle here. And I'm not even comfortable preaching this point. I'm going to be honest with you. I like things that are black and white. I like things where people just stand up and say, okay, listen, this is who I am. This is what I am. And if I have to leave you, then I'm leaving. If I have to stand over here, then that's where I'm going to sit. I like folks like that. I like people like Elijah who just say, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Or who are you going to serve this day? I like guys like him. I admire guys like them. But not everybody that serves the Lord is like that. Some people believe that they can stay in places and circumstances and make a difference. When Elijah stood against Ahab and Jezebel, and he ran after some of the prophets began to be slain by Jezebel, there was a guy that remained in the courts. And he actually was over the household and things and business of Ahab and Jezebel. And his name was Obadiah. And the Bible says that he feared the Lord from his youth. And he remained in the palace there with all the wickedness that was going on and oversaw the household of Ahab and Jezebel. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I think I would have left and ran off with Elijah. But he remains there. And while he is there, he, of his own money, and no doubt in secret and with discretion, he hid 100 of the prophets of God in caves and fed them and watered them. But he does not get the front page of the news in the sword of the Lord because it looks like he's a compromiser. And it looks like Joseph and Nicodemus may have been compromisers because they remained in this group with the Sanhedrin. But I don't think that's so. You see, there are some men who believe that they can actually remain in the presence of evil and wickedness and try to make a difference. Some do. You know, some folks say, well, you can't be a Christian and be a lawyer. There are some people who disagree with that. There are some Christian men who get in the midst of all of that stuff that goes in courts and all the stuff that goes on, and they believe that as a Christian, they can make a difference. I think about when I got saved and got in the ministry. I was in my early 20s when I got in the ministry, very early 20s, pastoring by the time I was 23. And at that time, there was basically a civil war going on of which I did not comprehend nor understand because I was too young and too ignorant to understand it. But the older preachers that I knew, who were independent Baptist preachers, they had declared war on the Southern Baptists. And they didn't believe that anybody could stay in the Southern Baptist Convention or pastor a Southern Baptist church and be a true Bible believer. And some of my brethren who may hear this on the radio may not agree with what I'm fixing to say. But I basically was influenced to believe that if anybody was a Bible believer, they had to be an independent Baptist or they were compromisers. That was what I was fed. But I noticed over the years that there were some men who thought that they could stay in that, not because they agreed with it, not because that they even compromised with it, but they disbelieved that they could turn it around. One of those is Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers believed that he could stay in it. He became president of the Southern Baptist Convention a couple of times because he believed that he could stop the liberalism that was going on in the colleges at that time. He was highly criticized from both sides for doing so. But I will say the good hand of God was upon that man. And even now, being dead, yet he speaks. So my point being is that I'm uncomfortable with about this is that God's got his people everywhere and all of them are not going to be independent fundamental Baptists. They ought to be, but they're not going to be. But God is going to raise them up and he's going to use them when he is ready to use them. Y'all with me, right? You understand what I'm saying here, okay? All right. So I want you to notice here, look with me here. The Bible says, how in the world, now this may be you're in school, maybe you're in college, maybe you work in a place where that you're uncomfortable. There are some people who, let me use the political situation as an example of this. There are some of you, and I appreciate you greatly. There are some of you who, when it came to the election this year, you had Trump signs everywhere. You flew Trump flags and you flew American flags and you identified yourself. I had a sign in my yard. And I mean, there are folks like that, but then there are folks who don't feel comfortable doing that. But yet they are conservative and they simply don't express themselves or they don't put it out there. Some do, some don't. And so what you have to realize is it doesn't mean that they don't care about America, and it doesn't mean that they don't vote conservative. It's just some folks God has raised up to be out there in the public and be out front, and there are some that God has raised up to be behind the scene. Obadiah was one of those men. Nehemiah served in a wicked court. Daniel served in 3 or 4 wicked courts. You understand, God and Esther and Mordecai, they remained in those high places around some, and even Joseph. Joseph served under a wicked Pharaoh. You understand, these folks were in places and yet they maintained their conscience before God and lived for the Lord. You have two men here, Joseph of Arimathea, and the Bible, Matthew is a tax collector, right? Was a tax collector. He's the only one that says, Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man. If anybody knows you're rich, your tax collector knows that you're rich, right? And so he puts that out there. This tells me something. I'm going to tell you something about Joseph and about Nicodemus that I think you need to understand. Because how in the world, really, if folks don't advertise sometimes what they are, how can you really discern and perceive some of the marks of those people who really are not going with the flow? They don't stand up against the flow like you think they should, but they're not going with the flow. They're waiting for the right place and time to take the stand. How do you know that? Well, I'll say, first of all, if you're working for some people or with people or you know some folks, number one, they will be sincere. They're not hypocrites. They are sincere. It says that Joseph of Arimathea was waiting for the kingdom of God. His mind was on God eventually taking over and him ruling and him bringing justice to this ungodly society. And I believe that he was waiting. And I think he saw some things in Jesus. I know he did. That he believed that he possibly, but he calls him a disciple. You cannot take your penknife, cut that out, and it still not be true. He was a disciple of Jesus. The Bible says he was, but he says that for fear. Not everybody is as bold as you are. Not everybody has the faith you do. But at the same time, God may have them in some places where there are sinners and other people who can be impacted that you will never reach. Just keep that in mind. They are sincere. He was interested in the kingdom of God. And number two, they are thinkers. Nicodemus was a guy who liked to ask questions and he asked both sides. He went to Jesus by night. When he heard and saw what Jesus did, the Bible says in John 3 that he went to Jesus by night and he began to say, he said, Master, we know, Rabbi, we know thou art come from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. This man was sincere, Brother Craig, and he was saying, hey, man, there's something about you that's different. You've got to be from God. So he's a thinker. He's not going along with everybody else that's around him. He's just not verbalizing it. But he's not going with the flow. So he goes to Jesus by night, and he checks this out. And you know what a thinker will do? He'll check out the facts. He doesn't want to be caught up in that emotional movement that's for the moment, a conspiracy theory for the moment. I asked my children if we discussed these politics after They had heard so many things on the internet, so many things on conspiracy theories of what were going to happen on January the 6th, what was going to happen on Inauguration Day. Should I take my money out? What should I do? And are we fixing to be at war? And I said, and after it was all said and done, I said, now let me ask you a question. What did you learn from this? And they said, well, we've learned that you just can't trust half of what you hear, even from people that you may believe in. And that's the truth. You better be careful. And so a person who's sincere and is a thinker, you're in John 19. Would you turn over to John chapter number 7? Some of you that give Nicodemus a hard time. By the way, there's another thing about these guys is that they can take tough preaching. They're not offended by the truth. A hypocrite is offended by the truth. A sincere, conservative person is not offended by the truth. Do you realize how hard Jesus was, Brother Scott, on rich men? Did you hear Jesus ever say anything positive about a rich man? When he wanted to use an illustration of somebody that died and went to hell, he used a rich man. And he said, you know what, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You know who heard that? Joseph did. Did Joseph get offended and turn away from that? No, sir. He hung in there. And I'm telling you, a real sincere person who's a thinker is not offended by truth. But here's Nicodemus. Nicodemus, when he was talking to Jesus by night, Jesus looked at him and said, hey, man, you need to be born again. You must be born again. What do you mean be born again? How can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born the second time? And Jesus basically laid it on him and said, hey, man, if you can't understand earthly illustrations, how are you going to understand spiritual and heavenly truth? You're supposed to be a teacher. You're supposed to be a master. Jesus was putting it right in his face. But it's also the same man that Jesus quoted John 3:16 to. When you quote John 3:16, you just remember the reason why it's in there is because Nicodemus asked a question. In John chapter 7, things are getting really heated and they're coming after Jesus to the point of where that people will be thrown out of the synagogue if they identify with him and possibly even arrested. But they certainly would be destroyed financially. And can you imagine today if a Democrat were to actually vote in favor and stand for Trump? Do you know what would happen to that Democrat? He would lose everything that he's worked for the past 10 or 15, 20 years. This is the position that Nicodemus is in right here in John chapter 7. They're coming after him. The people are talking about, well, who is this guy Jesus? Who is he? You'll notice in verse number 40, it says many of the, John chapter 7, verse 40, it says many of the people, therefore when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Is it possible that people could get in a Bible conversation and get divided over it? And by the way, when they said, can Christ come out of Galilee? That's that snootiness of the Pharisees. See, they think that everybody that came from Galilee was just a redneck and stupid. Verse number 43. Well, they might not have been a redneck, but they were some kind of neck. You understand what I'm saying? Verse 43. It says, and so there was a division among the people because of him. They're talking about unity today, but they mean compliance. They do not mean unity. They mean compliance. They want tolerance as long as you tolerate what they do. Because they will not tolerate what you do. And it says there was a division among the people because of him. And listen, Trump has not brought division to the United States of America. He has been the lightning rod that has exposed and brought to the surface of what many of us believe or don't believe. And Jesus Christ also probed the hearts of men and revealed what was in them. You'll notice in verse 44, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. They said unto him, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. I love that verse. Then answered then the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Are you that ignorant? This is the art of intimidation. This is what that is. This is the art of intimidation and manipulation. Are you that stupid? Are you that simple-minded? Are you also deceived? Are you going to follow this guy? Look in verse 48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Well, there's some indications here. It says, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now, they're basically saying they're a higher class. Everybody else is ignorant. Now, that's the impression I'm getting from Congress, that we are so ignorant, we don't know what's best for us. But they do. Verse 50, somebody speaks up in this very hostile and heated atmosphere. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? That sounds like a simple question. But in the atmosphere in which this is, he is challenging them. He is challenging. In other words, there's some lines being drawn here in the sand. And no matter how conservative you are and how secret you might be where you are, that people don't know where you're from or what you believe, at some point in a conversation somewhere, and it might be in a classroom about creation, it might be on the job about the same-sex marriage laws, it may be something that comes up, a line is drawn, and you, at that point, are provoked by the Spirit of God to say something. And when you do, you are identified. And the scripture says, and by the way, you know, you need to pick the hills you die on, don't you? Right, yeah, amen. Pick the hills you die on. Verse 49, because you will die on one somewhere. Verse 49, Jesus answered and said, why did I turn my page? Now, let's get back to where we were. Verse 48, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? You know what the obvious answer to that is? No, we don't do that, because we are such a righteous and good, upstanding people. We wouldn't do anything like that. We who might pay somebody to lie, put a narrative out there, we want to put out a front that we are interested in. We're out for your best interest. All right, verse 52. They answered and said unto him. Now it's they against one guy. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Again, an insult. If they can't argue the facts, what do? They attack your character, your education, your background. They'll attack something about you personally because they have no argument. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Every man went unto his own house. I'll guarantee everyone went to his own house thinking about what Nicodemus said. I promise you that. And if, listen to me, if you would just once in a while say something that matters, a word of salt, you'd be surprised when those people go home, they're going to think about what you said. And they realize that you're not going with the flow. They thought you were just part of them, but you said something that provoked their mind and their thoughts. All the power of a convicted statement. And here they are. And I just want you to know here, let's go back if you would please, and John 19, and I'm almost done here. I want you to look at John 19 with me, and we'll be done. And this is so relevant to today. I will say this about Joseph and Nicodemus. They refused to follow a multitude to do evil. And the Old Testament says, don't do that. And the other thing about these guys, Brother John, is that God used them, regardless of what other men may have thought about them, maybe what the other disciples thought about these guys, and maybe being compromisers or whatever, God used these men in His timing to fulfill prophecy. He said, well, I think they should have stood in, when Jesus was being on trial and stopped the crucifixion. Well, you know, somebody tried that. His name was Peter. And the Lord told him to put his sword out. Remember that? And when Jesus told him he was going to the cross, he said, not so, Lord. And you know what Jesus said to him then? Get behind me, Satan. So these guys are right here on time, in their place, ready to do exactly what they're supposed to be doing according to the scriptures that was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Did you realize that maybe Joseph might have had his wealth because God was going to use it? Now, the Bible says he was a just man, an honorable man, and a righteous man, which lets you know that not all rich men are evil. That some rich men have character and integrity and care about the things of God. They are rare, but they exist. But I want you to notice something here about these guys. It says here that they came and they asked for the body of Jesus. It says in verse number 39, Nicodemus came also. And what they did, it says in verse number 41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. And my last point this morning, and it won't take but a couple of minutes to give it to you. You can rest assured of the wickedness of man and the wiles of the devil. They don't change. History teaches us that. You can rest assured that God has His people everywhere. Believe it or not, there are some people in Washington, D.C., and around those men, and some may even be in the Congress that you don't know about yet, but at some place in time, you may know about them. But I want you to rest assured, number three, especially to our young people, I want you to rest assured of the accuracy and the authority of your Bible in these last days. I've got to say something about this. John said, I have written unto you young men, because you are strong. He said, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now the reason I say that is because whenever Satan comes after you, now the world comes after you and the flesh comes after you and the devil don't have to be anywhere around. But when the devil comes after you, how you can know that it's him. And when you can smell him and when you can discern him is when he starts messing with your thought life about the authority of the scriptures, the accuracy of the scriptures. And does God really care? That's exactly what he did in the garden. And that's exactly what he did when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And that's how you know when it is a lie from the devil. Now listen to me, kiddos. Some of us that are older, one of these days we're going to be gone. If the Lord tarries, we're going to be gone. And you will inherit this mess. I want to encourage you, hold on to your King James Bible. And there are going to be a lot of churches that are similar, but things that are similar are not the same. When there's some differences, hold on to your Bible. The reason I say that is because in John 19, if you'll notice in verse number 36, there are three prophecies that occur that are fulfilled here at the immediate death of Jesus Christ. Number one, Pilate says, hey, is he already dead? You guys go check and make sure he's dead. So they go and they're going to break the legs of those men to make sure that they're dead, to get them off the tree in time before sundown because of Jewish religion restrictions. And so when the soldiers get there, they break the leg of one thief and they break the leg of another thief, but they get ready to break the legs of Jesus and they find out he is already dead. And then the soldier, to make sure, he pierces him in his side. And there are three prophecies that take place right here to give you assurance of your Holy Bible and its accuracy. Number one is that they said the true Messiah, that not a bone in him would be broken. And that was the case on the cross. And they would look upon him one day whom they pierced, which they did right there at the last second. And that one day that this Messiah would be taken off that tree and placed in a rich man's tomb. A rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53 verse 9. That he would be laid down with the wealthy. Those three things took place right here, right before our very eyes in these passages. Kiddos, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to reveal you to you. No other book can do that. It is able to reveal God to you. No other book can do that. And it is able to direct your steps and your decisions, and no other book can do that righteously. In closing, I ask you these questions. Can you perceive the wickedness of man and the wiles of the devil that are going on around you right now today? The efforts to control information, the efforts to distort the truth. Schools have become places of indoctrination instead of education. Number two, can you accept the fact that God has people everywhere regardless of what you think about them? And number three, are you willing to embrace the Bible as the inspired and preserved Word of God and direct your path by it? Let's stand together, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my church family. I love them. I need them. And we need you. I pray, Lord, that they might think about these things as they have been preached to from the Scriptures. And I pray they'd receive them and believe in them. If there be someone in our service who does not know Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they would come to Him by faith and receive Him as Lord and Savior. And for the child of God, Lord, I pray they would be encouraged that all, regardless of what the wickedness of man and the wiles of the devil and the weakness of the flesh occurred those days, though they tried to kill, they did kill him, and they tried to conceal him, they could not. And I thank you for my Lord and Savior. In Christ's holy name, amen.